Welcome to the third episode in this mini-series on evangelism listening tours. In this episode, you'll hear me, Lizzie Burke, interview Kirk Peterson and Josh Chen to understand the 9 key findings from the Portland Evangelism Report. So in the first 2 episodes of this mini-series, you've heard what an evangelism listening tour is and how to do one and how to analyze the interview data, but we realized we probably should tell you what we discovered. And so this episode explains the 9 key findings that we believe give really fresh commentary on the state of evangelism in the Portland area. For this episode, we actually cut out a portion of a call we did earlier in 2021, introducing this report to 80 Portland area pastors and ministry leaders. So the audio may sound a little different from the previous 2 episodes, but the content is really great. Quick introductions again. I'm the Associate Director of the City Gospel Movements team at the Luis Palau Association. I analyzed the data and wrote the report. And I'm also a member of the Share PDX team, which is this volunteer team of Portland area pastors and ministry leaders seeking to strengthen evangelism in our area together. And you'll also hear Kirk Peterson talk, who is the Northwest Senior Director for Alpha USA. And Kirk is the leader of the Share PDX team, and he conducted many of the pastor interviews. And we're also joined by Josh Chen. Josh is a Share PDX team member and was the second interviewer in this research process. And Josh, full-time, is a city director for CREW. I hope you enjoy this conversation. You can access the full Portland Evangelism Report at citygospelmovements.org/team and find a whole array of other evangelism resources for your city.
I want to say a big thank you to all of you who are on this call and participated in this. So you gave up an hour of your time and busy schedules to allow Josh and I, or Josh or I, to come in and gather from your perspective what you saw going on in the area of evangelism in the church and in your specific church here in Portland. So, Lizzie, I don't know if you want to show just a couple little highlights of that. If you've not seen the report yet in person, we'll just give you a little glimpse at it. Here's the cover of it. We tried to take, after these 50 interviews, we kind of synthesized some of the information that was coming back and kind of whittled this down to 9 findings. I don't know, the next page there, Lizzie, has kind of shows the map of where we, you know, we got a pretty good cross section from our city. That was one of the goals, was to hear from people in the diversity of our city. It's not complete by any means, but we tried to get a cross-section of opinions, perspectives, even over into Vancouver. So we're glad that we could kind of hear from what we felt like is a picture of what the Portland metro area is experiencing in this area of evangelism. So, Lizzie, I think you have the 9 findings up there that we kind of came up with. Walk those through with everyone real quick.
So this was a really fun collaboration of the Share PDX team working with pastors like you. So we wanted to create this report not to just share things around evangelism that we all know that it's hard, not many people feel comfortable doing it, those types of things. But we wanted to start uncovering really positive examples of what churches are doing across the Portland metro area so those can be shared with each other. And through the 50 interviews, the themes that came out, which I with Kirk and Josh analyzed the themes, were these 9 key findings. So we've been sitting in these for way too long, but I know you're seeing these for the first time. So I'm just going to read them off one by one, and then I'll show a little bit of how we broke these down in the report that you'll be able to read so that they're not just bullet points that you think, well, no, duh, but you'll actually hear specific examples of how churches that you know, pastors you know, though they're not named by name, are implementing some of these in really creative ways. So the 9 key findings from the 50 interviews were, first, evangelism culture starts with the leaders. Second, identify and empower evangelists already among you. 3, community service increases credibility, not gospel conversations. And that was something we were really wondering about, especially because many of you have been journeying together for over a decade around community service. 4, the Holy Spirit's role in people coming to faith is essential, but overlooked. 5, most churches underestimate the impact of celebration. 6, Sunday gatherings remain primary focus for evangelistic outreach. 7, evangelism equipping without experience falls flat. 8, prayer for the lost is lacking. And 9, coming to faith is a longer journey. So throughout the report, what we do with each of the 9 findings is we list it at the top, and then you'll see specific quotes from the interviews from pastors. And then the short explanation for each of the themes or the key findings provides specific examples of how churches are approaching this in positive ways, maybe some questions they have or hurdles they face as they're approaching this theme, but they're really specific to what churches in the Portland area are doing. And the reflection questions for each of the themes. So this one is identify and empower evangelists already among you, couple quotes. And then right here, you'll see questions that you can go through personally, or your team, or your mom, you know, can go through and just read and reflect to dive a little bit deeper. And they're really focused to think about your church. So they're supposed to be practical and actionable. And I know Kevin, he's going through this with the elder team at Cedar Mill Bible Church, because he's like, hey, this is something, it's already made, it's local, and this is stuff that we can be processing through together. So I want to kind of dive a little bit deeper into these themes by asking Kirk some questions. But Kirk, do you want to mention any other thing before we jump into that? And I'll post the findings in the chat so you guys will be able to see those too.
Yeah, I just say that as we do this, I'm going to share just a couple insights that we kind of took away from this. And then please be listening with an ear to, we also would love to maybe capture a little bit of just what you're thinking, even as we're going through this today. So be thinking with that. And I or Lizzie may call out a few of you to just reflect on what you're hearing from this. Because again, we've sat with this for a year, year and a half, doing the interviews and then processing them, but we kind of want to hear what's resonating with you as you're taking this in today.
Right. So we're going to hit a couple of the findings. And the first question, Kirk, is what finding encouraged you the most? You and Josh, as you were doing these interviews, what finding encouraged you the most?
Yeah, I would say the first thing that we come up with is the evangelism culture starts with leaders. And that's part of why we gathered you again here today. And I think that's part of why Kevin has made effort in the last decade plus to really invest time in the leadership of the church in Portland. It's not a surprise that as the leaders go, so goes the church. But it's this whole idea that the culture within your church really begins with the leadership. And we talked to a number of pastors who, you know, admittedly said, hey, evangelism is not my top strength. It's something I desire. I love to see happening, but it's not necessarily my strongest gifting and our most natural gifting. But even in those cases, leaders we found where evangelism was thriving were drawing in other leaders on their team and in a sense, empowering them and just reminding them, whether it's your staff team, if you're on a larger staff, or whether it's a team of volunteers, if you're in a smaller church, it's getting those leaders together and saying, how do we keep evangelism at the heartbeat of what we're doing? That we got to be reminded that in any given Sunday here in the Portland metro area, if you're going by the stats downtown, it's like 96, 97% of the population is not in any of our churches. So there's plenty of people to be reached here in the city, and we can all fill up our seats, but we've just got to keep that before our leaders. So I think that finding was probably the thing that encouraged me most, because it does feel like the most actionable thing that you all as leaders in the church and in your individual churches can take and run with.
Yeah. And I think also what was interesting is some of the leaders who were considered themselves not evangelists were actually the most effective at equipping their staff in evangelism because they were intentional about it. Okay, Kirk, what was the freshest insight or like newest discovery through this whole process?
Yeah, I mean, I would say a couple things that stood out to us. One was something that we didn't hear as much as we expected we might, was that the Holy Spirit's role in people coming to faith really is essential, but it seems often overlooked. And we didn't have a specific question about this. So it's not that no one on here or that we interviewed didn't believe that the Holy Spirit was a vital part of people coming to faith. But I think we were surprised as we asked people how they were equipping people around evangelism, as we asked them what was working in the areas of evangelism, that the Holy Spirit's role did not surface that much. But the interesting thing that we also tied together was when it did come up, when people noted something that the Spirit of God seemed to be doing in their congregation, that there did seem to be a direct correlation to an increase in the fruitfulness of evangelism. And so I do think there's something there for us to consider in terms of how are we approaching this and where does our theology kind of work its way down into the practical day-to-day of how we're going about and thinking about evangelism in our particular congregations. The other thing that I think was a fresh insight was just this aspect of celebration, that most churches underestimate the impact of celebration. When we asked pastors, what do you do to celebrate people coming to faith? Oftentimes the response was not enough, or just kind of a pondering of that. And I think it's a missed opportunity. I think it actually, while most churches, I think it was 80 some percent said that they actually found that baptisms were their main form of celebration. I think there's a lot that we could do with even our baptisms, the way we set that up, to make it a catalyst for more evangelism in our church bodies. And we heard this from ideas from some who, have videotaped their baptisms and then share those, on social media, share those the next week in the service. Some people who have incorporated people sharing their story as a part of their baptism service so that it wasn't just watching a person get wet, but you actually got to hear just a glimpse of the work of God that brought them to that point in their life. And so I think there's ways that we can celebrate better and actually make an impact in seeing more people sharing their faith in our churches.
Yeah. And one church even would have like a birthday cake for like new believers, and others would almost like follow this ancient liturgical celebration, and then baptisms would lead to a party afterwards. So there were some creative ideas for sure. Okay, Kirk, what challenged you or stretched your assumptions as you did these interviews?
Well, we kind of said going into this that one of the things that we wanted to see was whether or not our service in the city was leading to people coming to faith. And what we heard time and time again was that our community service really does increase our credibility, has increased our credibility in the city, but it has not necessarily led to gospel conversations. And there were lots of examples of that, of people pointing to outreaches that they felt like they had done that had been a benefit to the city and meeting a practical need in the city, but not necessarily opening the door to more people hearing the good news or more relationships that were leading to conversations there for that. And I think one of the pieces that I noted that was kind of a bright spot in this that a number of churches were doing was when they were very intentional around asking, how does our service actually tie to gospel proclamation? And seeing that it's a both and, not an either or kind of proposition here. And so as I think we have, as a large part, the church served the city well over the last decade plus, we do have an increased credibility. And I think we need to be intentional around how does that open up doors for the gospel to be proclaimed? What does that look like in a natural, relevant way to do that in the midst of serving the city? I would say the other thing that kind of challenged one of the assumptions was just we heard from pastors very clearly that Sunday gatherings remain the primary focus for their evangelistic outreach. And I think that's interesting in a city where, by and large, more and more, if I look at my neighbors who are not churched, most of them won't step foot into a church on a given Sunday. And so I think it at least raises the question of how do we continue to get people, if that's going to be our primary focus for where we're sharing the good news, asking people, inviting people to respond, how are we getting people in that space where they're actually hearing that? The whole last year really has shifted things. We ended probably our last 10 interviews were done after COVID had hit. So this may have looked different if we were doing all of these after that change, because in a way, all of our Sunday gatherings now feel very scattered. And in some ways that becomes strategically evangelistic because people can check it out without having to step foot into our buildings. But at the same time, we're asking the question, are they even aware that we are online? Would they even step foot into, logging on to something for a half an hour, an hour and a half on a Sunday? So I think those two things, just to remind us that, as we think about how we're using our Sunday gatherings, I think it's mindful for us to say, is that going to continue to work? in a culture that moves more and more away from gatherings in person and eventually gatherings, you know, when we do come back to having the opportunity to meet together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to call out Josh Chen, who works with Crew and worked with Kirk and I in conducting these interviews. And Josh, specifically around the topic of community service increases credibility, you had an interesting interaction with one church as they were trying to reconcile, we've been doing this community service, and yet, can you share a little bit about that story?
Yeah. I mean, I think what came up over and over again was like the assumption that like our community service would lead to gospel conversations. And yeah, one of the pastors was mentioning that as they had been doing this for years and years, they recognized that they weren't seeing people come to faith. And he joked that, you know, like these schools and these partnerships that they had would be like, oh man, those were some amazing Buddhists that were serving here. And so, yeah. So like our service doesn't necessarily lead people to recognize that, oh, those are actually followers of Christ, and this is a living out of their faith.
Yeah. And there's no silver bullet around the churches that are integrating faith conversations or just thinking about evangelism as it relates to service, but they're just really intentional about it. Okay, Kirk, as we kind of turn a corner here, what did you learn from an area of improvement?
You know, one of the questions we asked was just around what are you doing to empower, equip others in sharing their faith? And I think the key insight that came back from that is the second finding in our survey that said, identify and empower the evangelists who are already among you. And this was from pastors who had taken and said, you know, hey, I'm not really good at evangelism, or not necessarily, don't feel like that's my strength, is calling for response. And so they'd even shared the platform with some of the evangelists in their service. And they said they would get up and basically say the same words that I would have said, but the response was different. Like the people were more responsive. There was some favor that the Holy Spirit gave them in that space. You know, I think when we ask people, how do you identify those who are gifted in this way? The most common answer was just, we're looking at people who are regularly seeing friends come to Christ and regularly bringing new people into our body. They're the ones, if you practice where they, you know, your members baptize people that are in their community or that they have brought to faith. I walk that journey with them. They're the ones who are getting wet all the time because they're regularly seeing people in their lives who are doing that. So I think it's looking for them and then finding ways that you have these people already within your church. How do you help them to help shape the culture of your church and give them opportunity for that?
Yeah. And then we found with churches who were all like in elders meetings, they would ask, like, who are the up and coming leaders? Who are the people who are passionate about evangelism? And how can we connect them to each other so they know they're not alone in this? Okay, I'm going to ask Kirk a final question. And then after he talks about these final things, I do want to get some of your guys' feedback on what we've said, because it's been a little bit one way at this point, but we do want to hear what's sticking out, what strikes you. So Kirk, what is something churches in the Portland area could do differently because of what was discovered through listening in these interviews?
Well, the one I'm just going to highlight here is the finding around that evangelism equipping without experience seems to fall flat. And this came back from a number of different sources with people who said, yeah, we ran these different equipping opportunities for people and found that after we did that, we just didn't find people actually sharing their faith. So in other words, it's not just having opportunities that equip people, but giving people opportunities that are connected to actually an experience of putting that into practice. And I'm going to ask Jose just to unmute then. Jose serves on our SharePDX team, and talk just a little bit around how even that finding kind of fits into what you've done on the west side of town with Good News Today the last several years.
Thanks, Kirk. I mean, to state the obvious, evangelism leads to evangelism. So what we have to do is go beyond just saying, here's training or here's steps, but to give people, you know, you crawl and then you walk and then you run. So we need to help people take the first step because most are afraid. So we do, you know, we've done these larger events, but really it's not about the event. It's not about the concert. It's not about the music. It's about calling people to pray for their friend, giving them something tangible to invite them to, and then training them to share the faith. And for some, it was their step of faith was inviting their friend, and their friend said no, but that's a win. because they actually brought up Jesus. For others, it was they invited their friend. The friend came to faith. That's a double win. But we found some people in our church who went to Christian school, been in the church their entire life, have never shared their faith personally. And because we had equipping attached, we're able to actually lead people to faith in a public space at Hillsborough Stadium. And what I've noticed, because some of them I know quite well, in the years that we've been doing it, it leads to an increased boldness. When you take a step of faith and God honors it, you get a little more active. And that's why I say, you know, for your context personally, because I'm not a part of the Alpha team, I would say every church should consider, because Alpha is an easy way to mobilize some people within the church to be hosts, show hospitality, and allow people to dialogue about faith. But it could be something different, but we have to give tangible things that people can join into, because the default mode is to do nothing because I'm scared.
Yeah, thanks for sharing, Jose. Mm-hmm. I know that this was a lot of content, and we hope that this is just a little bit of an appetizer so that you want to dive into the report on your own. But I do want to hear, how is this landing with you? What's sticking out? What's anything from a good reminder to, hey, I didn't think about that before? Or maybe now that you've said this, this is an idea that I'm considering, you know, implementing in my church. So I know many of you, I don't know all of you, and I'm just going to call some of you out by name just to share in 30 seconds what stuck out to you, what's an idea that you're taking away from this call. So Ryan Deset, can I call you out from 26 West? Can I just ask you to share something that stuck out to you from what Kirk and I have shared, or Josh or Jose?
Yes, thank you for the invitation. And it is an absolute honor to be here with so many of you who are serving the Lord in this area. I think one of the things that sort of jumps out to me is around this idea number two, around empowering evangelists already among you. Mm-hmm. And I'm sort of biased in the sense of what does that look like for youth? And I don't know if that you had much findings in that area or looked at that, but I know some churches are running youth alphas. And how are we equipping, empowering students who are ready to take this on and really lead it beyond us? And so that's something that, you know, I'm conscious of even with my own group, but I'm definitely curious to hear and learn more about, you know, how we can do that well.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think in some of the churches, it was just like we do with any other leader. It's saying, hey, I noticed this about you. Do you know this is unique? This is special. Oh, by the way, there are a few other people that if you connect with, maybe you guys can encourage each other in this area of faith sharing, and you're not alone. And so we just saw really a lot of intention around speaking out what you see in people. Like, hey, this isn't normal. You're inviting people to church all the time, you know? So thanks for sharing, Ryan. I'm going to call out, I think it was Chris Yarko. Yeah, I know you've been nodding along, and I'm just curious, can you share just a comment? What stuck out to you from this conversation?
Thanks, Lizzie. And thanks for all the work on this. You know, I think that the two things that have stuck out to me are prayer for the lost is lacking, and the thought that we can do anything without fully submitting it to prayer intentionally and regularly, you know, and make our plans without that being part of our plans. I think that's just convicting for me. And the other is that coming to faith is a longer journey. And just the, what are all those elements of the journey? If it's, you know, there's not a single bullet, right? It's not just the Sunday message. It's not serving an outreach. It's not just the invitation, but it's a number of steps along the way that there's a part that all of us need to play, and in that we would be invited in to play our parts with people. Yeah, I mean, if it's that long of a journey, there's a lot of touch points along the way. So I think for us is to even talk about how can we identify all those different touch points, and are we intentionally doing our part?
Yeah, no, that's really helpful. And I think something we also recognize is, what does it look like not just to share people coming to faith, but people sharing their faith, because there's going to be a lot of those conversations along the way, and we can celebrate those moments too. Okay, I'm just going to call out two other people. Paul Pastor, I see you on the call. Can I call you out just to share a comment or thought from this conversation?
Sure. I'm encouraged that it's happening It may seem like a basic thing, but working as I do with leaders across the country, as so many of us do, this is a really unique gathering, and it's easy sometimes for us to forget how special it is that we are able to gather in this way with such consensus, with such unity, and such strategy. So my main comment is, wow, this is an incredible exercise in self-reflection. And more than just a pat on the back, I think that should inspire us to continue this type of unified move forward for the sake of our city, and then also for the sake of how this is going to trickle out into other areas around our country and globe. It is a simple, practical way that we are able to evaluate and move forward strategically. And I just think it's really, really excellent.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks. And finally, I'm going to call out Dr. Chin, Dr. Derek Chin. You have an interesting perspective being both in the academy and also in the church. And can you share what stuck out to you just in 30 seconds or so?
Yeah, I think what it was Josh shared when he talked about doing activities and doing it, and people really don't even associate it with our faith. It's just, your apps, we're serving alongside people, but the distinction isn't there. And I think the notion of intentionality and something where why we are doing what we're doing because of Christ is important to be able to articulate and even make known to people. Otherwise, yeah, we're just like everybody else.
Yeah. No, it is a really good reminder for sure. I'm going to post in the chat the link for the PDF, where you can get the full report. I'm a super slow reader, and it took me about 15 minutes. So if that is any hint for how long it takes to read. But thanks, everyone, for listening, for kind of digesting this. And if you have any questions, I'm going to direct you to Kirk, because he's really leading the charge here. But we get excited about what we found out and really hope you feel like it was an accurate reflection of the conversations we had with you, just reflecting back. This is what we're hearing you say.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you want to read the full Portland Evangelism Report and access other evangelism resources for your city, go to citygospelmovements.org/team.